Hey there, welcome to Sauce and Bomb Podcast. I'm your host, Anna Dana, Head of Growth at Sauce Groups, your acquirer, buying wonderful sauce businesses to take them to the next level. And here I chat with inspiring founders and experts to get an inside scoop on how they made their business a success. So today with me is Tom, building Nail Tracker by Hunter.io, an email tracking platform for Gmail and Chrome. And honestly, a tiny little tool that I cannot now see my inbox without. So, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, honestly, this is not just a, you know, shameless plug. I am not affiliated with Mail Tracker, but I installed it last year. And then I was like, oh, okay, that's really handy. Like, I know when people are reading my emails. And then something happened. Like, I don't know, somehow I couldn't log in. Maybe it was my mistake, and it just disappeared. And I was like, well, okay, it was nice to have. And then after a week, I realized, oh my God, I get the biggest anxiety. Have people read my emails? Like, it was so much easier. It gave me a peace of mind. So I went back, I sat down, and I logged in, and and now we're back. So yeah, it's not just a nice to have. For me, at least. So before we jump into the whole, you know, how you're building it and how you got to it, let's talk about you, because it's not the first rodeo. You had a great SaaS before it got acquired. So maybe you can tell a bit of that.
Yeah, sure. So the first SaaS we created, it was PixelMe. PixelMe, it was a URL shortener like Bitly, but we introduced pixel retargeting into the link. So mainly the goal was to do retargeting, for example, on Amazon, if you are sending traffic to Amazon. PixelMe, it was long story. We built the product Bootstrap. We raised $1 million. We moved back investor shares. So we get back out. I moved back my co-founder shares. So I was finally alone at PixelMe. And I finally sold it for about $1 million. It was really great. It was a cool story. And at least we shared everything on Medium. So it was cool because a lot of people know the stories of PixelMe. So it was a great story.
Okay.
And yeah.
So how did you get to do Mail Tracker? I mean, it's the guys from Hunter.io, right? That initially created this. So how did you get a hold of it?
Yeah, that's a good question. I know Francois from long time ago. So Francois is the co-founder of Hunter.io. I know him from my first company, SaaS Invaders, because we made a deal with Hunter on SaaS Invaders. And we continued to chat in the last few years. And when I sold PixelMe, I worked for the people who acquired PixelMe for a few months, and I was thinking about my next project. And we had a chat with Francois, and he told me, you know, we have Mail Tracker, we have a lot of users, but we don't have any paying customer. So maybe we can do something together. And I said, yes, because I love the email tracking part. I think it's really cool because email tracking can be used every day by a lot of people, different topic and different strategy. So I was really happy, and I was happy because it's not starting a product from scratch. It's starting a product with 100K user. So it's a lot and a lot of traffic and built by a brand that a lot of people know because Hunter is really great brand. So yeah, it was really cool.
Okay. So can you maybe share, if that's possible, what is the deal basically? Did you acquire a Mail Tracker at the end, or what's your role?
Yeah, it's a great deal because they was really fair with me. We created a new separated company. So Hunter and Mail Tracker. So Mail Tracker was a new company. They offered me a part of the shares of the new company. And they keep a big part of the shares also. And so I'm the CEO of the company and managing like I want. So they are totally open for everything. We have one call per month to give an update, and they can send me some feedback or some help on some topic. But yeah, I'm totally free at MateTracker. And when I joined MateTracker, I invited Stefan, my co-founder at MateTracker. He's the CTO of the company, so I give him some shares also. So we have the same number of shares today, and we are building MateTracker at two people.
Okay, awesome. All right. Well, maybe then you can tell a little bit more of, you know, what is actually MailTracker? Because for me, it's just that thing that tells me, ding, your email has been read. Wonderful. You know, it makes me so happy. How do you envision it?
Yeah, it's a good question. At least MailTracker is an email tracking. And we try to add more feature and to change the perspective. And we failed to do that. And because I think people just want to track the email and keep the basic of email tracking and do that perfectly. I think it's important. MailTracker can be used in a lot of situations. It can be used by people who are doing cold email, one-on-one cold email strategy. It can be used just if you are sending mail to your investor or just if you are curious, if people are opening your email. But what we can see is if you are using MailTracker correctly, you can add a lot of value on this because the behavior of someone, when someone is opening your email, it can be a lot of info. Let me give you an example. You send an email to someone, a prospecting email to selling something, and the person didn't reply, but opening your email 10 times versus opening your email one time. It's totally different. And the follow-up should be different. Because if the person opening your email 10 times, she is interested. So you should change something, add more something, be more complete or whatever when you will follow up. If the person opened your email one time, that just means she didn't understood or something like that. So you need to change completely the subject and the email, etc. So yeah, if you are doing great job with MailTracker, you can do something really, really, really cool. So we have a lot of different topics and a lot of different targets. Our ICP is really large because it's all the people we are doing email on Gmail can use MailTracker, so it can be a lot.
Yeah, so your case is actually everyone from 16 to 78 with
yeah,
the laptop.
Exactly.
Okay, you're a nightmare of a marketer. But all right. Well, you said that, you know, when you got the product, it was 100,000 users. The product is free. And, you know, I've heard quite a few stories when this happened, you know, somebody got their product really viral and, well, it was free, right? It was like fully PLG. And what's not to like, right? 100,000 people use it, but it's not like your charity. You still need to earn money. So going from free to paid, I've heard all the scenarios out there, just completely tanking and, you know, being left with 9 paid users or something like this, or, you know, flourishing, kind of keeping 90% of those users paying for the tool. What happened in your case and how did you introduce the first paid plan? And also, how did you decide what's left for the free users and what is the additional value that paid customers are having?
Yeah. To be honest, when we did that, it was about, we don't know. So it's like, push it and we will see. Because we don't know. We have a product used by 100,000 people for many years for free. And from day one, we will block some user to say, now it's time to pay. So yeah, it was, we was really afraid, but at least it was really good. So we was happy. What we did, it's MyTracker was 100% free, but we decided first to block some feature. So when we launched the paid plan, we say, okay, you still have unlimited email per month for free, but if you want to have the full tracking, if you want to have the whole history of the tracking, etc., you need to pay. And we introduced a lot of modal to inform people that now, if you want to do that, you need to pay. And we just launched from day to today. And we just launched the feature. And it was, I think I have a video on my phone when the first Stripe notification came. And it was a lot of people paying. And we probably had, let's say, 10 people complaining about that. But most of the people was okay. Some people paid, some people doesn't pay and continue to use for free. We finally changed the way of the limitation. So now you have 20 email per month for free, and you should pay if you want more email. So we changed the value. But yeah, when we launched the paid plan, it was just, if you want the full tracking history, if you want, I don't remember exactly what other feature we limited, but we have some feature, and you should pay for that. And we grow from $0 to $10K MRR in like 3 months. After launching the paid plan. So it was really great. We initially thought that we will make 10 months or something like that to do that. So we was really happy. The main issue that we had, it's we had more people uninstalling the extension than people installing the extension. So it was a really big deal because that means we are losing user every month. And, you know, it's not good. Even if the MRR is growing, if we lost 3 user, it's really, really bad. So after the 3 months, we starting spend a lot of time to understand how we can have the same number of conversion, but 3 people happy with the product, so continue to use the product. We remove some modal, we remove some limitation to just find the perfect way where people can pay or people can stay in free and they are happy. That we discover is not the limitation that people doesn't want, it's the number of times that you are saying you are limited by the product. So the most important part is just to display at the right time, now you are limited, but the most of the time is just using the product for free and you are happy with that. So yeah, that was the big first step.
That's interesting. So kind of figuring out the customer communication and how they want to learn at what point they hit their wall was your golden point.
I don't remember exactly, but I think what we did, it's, yeah, I think it's, we send an email to say, we are introducing this feature like PDF tracking and other stuff. And we changed the product and we add more design, etc. So it was a little bit more complex or the product. And at the end of the email, we say, we are introducing paid plan. So it's just something like that. And I think a small number of people read our email. So it's just from day to the other day, we have just mobile and people paying for the product and no one complaining a lot. So it was a good signal because we made the decision with Stefan to, if a lot of people complain and a lot of people uninstall the extension or give bad review on the store, we will go back and think about the strategy and push again the price. So we was really ready to go back and push back the code and just go back to the free plan and think about the strategy. But at least that worked. So we was happy.
All right. And the first time you introduced a paid plan, it was what is it, $9 per month, right?
Yes. Yeah,
How
it
did
was
you land on
$9.
that price? Was it just kind of because I'm thinking, like, when I ask that question, I kind of know the answer already, because when you go to any typical SaaS, it's smaller tools live somewhere in between like 5 to 15, and then it's 20 to 45, and then there are custom plans that go to infinity. But yeah, anyway, how did you decide on it?
Yeah, I think it was exactly the same for all the time when I choose a price. It was okay, $5 is too cheap. Let's say $9 is good, and let's say. So I think we spent like 10 minutes with Stefan to talk about the price and choose, because we know the competition was at, yeah, $5 per month, most of the competitor. We doesn't want to have this price because it's really cheap for us. And so we say, okay, let's try $9, and if people convert, we do the job, so it's okay.
Yeah, okay. And then you increased it and you went from
Yes.
9 to 20, or is it 24 now?
25.
Oh, okay. That's a
Yeah.
steep one. Okay. So, all right. How did we land there? Was it the features? Was it, just the fact that you saw people are getting value and they're happy and they're ready to pay? Again, what was the decision there?
Yeah, that I don't remember why we choose to increase the price, but we make the decision to increase the price because we are thinking people who are using the product are really happy and they can pay more and more for the product. So we decided to increase the price in January. We was at 20K or something like that when we increased the price. And we did the process really great. So we decided to increase the price. We choose the new price, so $25, and at least it was a good bad choice. I think we should choose $29, probably better, and it's probably the same for the user. They will not see the difference between the 25 to 29. And we put in the spreadsheet all the customer, and we did the math. We did the math to say, okay, if we lost, let's say, 50% of the customer because of this increase, we will got new MRR. So it should be better. It's the first step. And if we decrease the conversion rate from free to paid for 50%, same, we will grow the new MRR. And we don't know about the churn, but yeah, it's the free topic. So we put every number and we say, okay, we are thinking the number are really good. We can try it. And what we did, it's we sent an email to all the paying customer, 100 people to 100 people to 100 people each time. And the email was really clear. We are about to increase the price in January. So, and we explained, because we are a small team of two people, we have a lot of users, you need to pay more, sorry. and the strategy was, if people complain, we will offer to stay in the $9 plan to every people complain. Just simple like that. We send the email. If people complain, you can just say to stay in the $9 plan. And if people didn't complain, we will just increase the price. And the result was really great. Because when I send the email to all the customer base, we had less than 5% of people want to churn because of the new price. And in this 5%, we keep 50% of this customer in the $9 plan. So at least we lost a really small number of users, and we had 10K revenue in one day. More revenue in one day, so it was really, really great for us. We was happy, and for the month after, in terms of conversion rate, it was pretty similar. We have a really small conversion rate because we are big free plan, so we have above 1% of conversion rate, so people free to paid, and that didn't change too much, so it was good. for us, and the churn was the same in the next month. So it was above 6% to 6%. So yeah, it was really common.
That's pretty cool. All right. So yeah. Did you tell people in November that you were changing in January, or like what was the timeline? How did you prep your customer base, if anything? And also, you know, it's a good hack. Like all the users now are like, okay, so if the prices increase, can I just email them and ask them if I can stay in my plan?
Probably. I don't know. Probably. That's, probably.
All right.
To complain.
How to prep your customer for the increase?
We did that in like middle of December. And the fact we know at the end of December, we was in holidays with Stefan and I. so I continue to reply to customer. But yeah, I think we started early December to send, I sent 100 email per every 3 days or something like that during all the December to have everyone know before the end of the December, because we the increase was in January. That took 1 month to have everyone. And for us, it was really important to make it clear on the email, so no surprise. So we know exactly who are happy or we are not happy. We are increasing the price. So it was really important for us to do that, because, you know, when sometimes you receive an email about an increase, I think Netflix do that a lot of time, but you don't really read the email because they just, we are changing some stuff into the product and, it's an increase of the price. So. But yeah, for us, it was really important to make this clear. And we took 1 month to advertise to everyone about the increase.
Maybe choosing December was very smart, because, you know, I've read quite a bit about, like, you know, the seasonality of different products, and, you know, they don't talk about SaaS much, but still, you know, people are more kind of forgiving and more willing to spend before Christmas, and they're like, okay, it's not that much, you know, happy Christmas.
Yeah, for the context, I think we have 80% of our customer in the US. So we know that US customer are almost more ready to pay more.
This episode is sponsored by Rewardful. Looking for new ways to find customers for your SaaS business? Consider building an affiliate program. Rewardful is the easiest affiliate tracking platform to set up, manage, and scale for SaaS companies. Building a successful affiliate program can be a little bit intimidating at first, and that's why Rewardful has taken what they've observed from their most successful customers' affiliate programs and distilled that into an exclusive online course. The exciting part? Their affiliate marketing course is absolutely free. Start the course at academy.rewardful.com. Academy.rewardful.com. And turn your biggest fans into your best marketers.
All right, super cool. Another thing that I wanted to ask you is basically, I don't think we went to it too deeply, but how did you choose what you're leaving your free customers with, and what is the additional value that your paid customers have? You know, is it, you know, potentially some customer support that free users don't get, or maybe some features? What do you prioritize here?
The good news is we have a lot of users using the product. So I think it was 6 months or 8 months after launched the paid plan. We took every paying customer and every free user, and we compared the number of emails they sent per month. Because we are thinking, okay, the limitation with the history and the number of open is really not valuable for the user, because at least people coming to track email per month, and the real value is when you track an email. So we are thinking to change the model and to be focused on of the number of email per month that you are able to send for free. So we put every number in the spreadsheet and we compare. And the goal of this spreadsheet, it was to understand how many email free users send per month, how many email paid customers send per month, what is the number when free user will stay happy. Let's say 80% of free user will stay happy, but 10% will convert and 10% will just move or whatever. And how many email for paying customers they need to send per month. And we found the number, it was just 20. With 20, we know like a big part of our free user are just sending 10 email, 20 email per month for free. So it was easy because we know this number is the good number. We know people will convert and people will stay on the free plan. Because if you are sending 5 email per month, you will never pay for MailTracker. Because you will never pay $25 per month to send just 5 email. But if you are sending 100 email per month, you can pay. So but
yeah.
where we made the decision to change that. And as usually, we just introduced that. We didn't send an email. And people was really okay with that. I think we don't have any complaint. Or if we add, I probably offer lifetime coupon. So yeah, to make customer happy. Yeah, because the MailTracker is on the Chrome Store. And the Chrome Store is really, really important to have good review. So for me, it's more important to have good review than offering a free lifetime plan for hungry user. So it's okay so please don't come to the support to ask for coupon. But yeah, we usually when we have bad review, we send an email to all the customers that are giving a bad review and trying to change the note. And we usually win. So yeah.
That's awesome. That's good care. All right. Because you were talking about this and I kept thinking that, with being in the Chrome store, like that's your growth channel, right? And again, quite a few stories here on the podcast about this or about just pushing the product through the third party channel where it was very challenging. Like you said, it's very important to have good reviews. And, you know, sometimes in Chrome store, you get kind of promoted and you're there on the top. So it's easy to see you. And that obviously helps with growth. But then, you know, if they take it away, then you're left without this huge channel. How do you mitigate that risk?
Yeah, when I took the lead of MailTracker, we until don't have any specific website for MailTracker. So we have the Hunter website and the Chrome store. But when we separated the company, I created a website for MailTracker that our 100% of our traffic came from the Chrome store at this time. So it was really important for us to make sure we will continue to grow on the Chrome store. So we spent a lot of time into the Chrome store to grow up and to change. We change a lot the page on the Chrome store, the image, the description. We had a lot of stuff and we found a combination that helps you to grow on the Chrome store. And we grew a lot because we doubled the number of install per month. So I think it's great. We have more than 10K install per month now. And yeah, you need to have a really good description. You need to have really good image. You need to push update of your product, let's say every week, I think, a lot. You need to push a lot on the Chrome store. And you need to have a lot of review and good review and constantly new review. So it's this mix to grow on the Chrome store. But yeah, we don't want to have only this channel. So we created the website, we created the blog. The blog is like growing crazy. with the blog on MailTracker website. And first, my idea was to create great content that people will love and that people will read. So Google will help us to grow with this. But that didn't work. So we spent like 1 year pushing content a lot and no results. so we changed the strategy. And the new strategy was, instead of trying to create great content, we will just create that the content people need. And we are in the market that people have a lot of questions, like how to set up my Gmail account, how to connect multiple accounts in Gmail, how to do that on Chrome, what are the most interesting extensions for Chrome, etc., etc. Really basic question. So we have the answer. And it was boom. We just grow more and more. We doubled the number of traffic in the last 6 months. And yeah, our ranking is just growing crazy. So it's really cool. And it seems to a good strategy. So yeah.
That's pretty cool. I like how you said it, you know, instead of just like thinking about this perfect piece of content, we just wanted to do what people want. And that's, I think that's the best kind of strategy because yes, I think sometimes I run into this as well. Like, yes, I do want to talk about, you know, different exit strategies and, you know, the way you should structure your acquisition. But let's be honest, there are very, very few people who actually Google, how do I structure my acquisition? People Google, like, how do I sell a company? How much money does my company actually worth? Right. And that's kind of a bit more relevant and a bit more human. And yeah, that started working as well.
Yeah,
so definitely. Awesome. Yeah. Thanks for sharing. That's a very, very good tip. And yeah, I also know that you guys, well, obviously now you have this paid plan, but you introduced a free trial and that also kind of worked magic for you. So if you can tell me a bit more.
It's a good point. And we didn't expect that. So we have some friends. They have a product called Task Board and they have a free trial and they have a free plan. And for me, it was strange because if you have a free plan, you don't need a free trial. People try in free, convert when they need. So it's just basic, free, paid. And I think a lot of products are doing that. But we had some discussion with Stefan and we say, okay, maybe we should try because maybe people are able to start the trial because if they need more email, for example, in our case, and they will be happy and continue. So the good news is when you are a small team of two people, you can just try some stuff. And yeah, I think Stefan made 2 days to code and just push the free trial. So it was really fast. And we was okay, we will try for a month and we will see what that will do. And that literally doubled the number of new paying customers per month. So it was just crazy. We doubled the number of conversion per month after introducing. Yeah, I was thinking what we can add to that. The most important part, it's a free trial with the credit card. So you should put the credit card. And the second important part is we don't have any, let's say, pricing table. We have only one plan. So every model in the product will redirect to Stripe directly to start a free trial. So you want more email, start a free trial, go to Stripe. And we try in the past to display pricing table with different pricing. And we invent some stuff to justify more pricing. And we saw the conversion decrease. So for us, the most important is straightforward to the pricing page with Stripe. And the Stripe page is good to convert. So yeah, we really doubled the number of conversion per month. So of course, the churn increased also, but 2% or something like that. So it's really manageable as we really double the number of new MRR per month. So yeah, and the first month we took like 5K new MRR and we was okay, that will continue or not. And yeah, that continue every month. It's less than the first month, of course. But yeah, that continue now. So we are really happy with that. And yeah, I recommend to try the free trial.
Sounds Group is partnering with SoundsTalk USA, taking place May 13th to 14th in Austin, Texas. This is where Heads Down SaaS founders and their teams move their business forward. As a partner, we have 30% discount available to share with our network. Use code SaaSGroup30 in all capital letters and see you there.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, I like what you're talking about. You know, like you're just two people. You don't need much strategy at this early stage. You know, you want to try something, you try something, and then see how people respond. That's pretty awesome. And I think in your case, just attracting a lot more people, and you always have like this new batch of people just having this. They never had your previous plan. They never knew how it was before. They get this $25 deal. Or, you know, the free plan and see how it works for them. So, yeah, I think that's pretty cool. All right. So I just have a couple more questions. Well, before we go there, I wanted to ask you, like, what's this year going to bring to MailTracker and its customers? Are they expecting a price increase? You know, any new features? Anything you want to announce?
That's a good question. I think we are in the situation where everything is growing well, the SEO, the website, the product. So we are about, okay, wait, let's see what's happened. So because when everything is good, you are in a position that you don't want to break something, to break something. So we are thinking to, okay, let's wait a little bit more weeks and we will see. But we know that people want to have the multi-recipient tracking. So it's the multi-recipient tracking. It's when you send an email to two or three people, you want to know who opening your email. And today we don't have this feature and it's some work to do that. So we'll probably work on this. And at least we will probably go on the market to sell Mail Tracker in the next few months. So we will see if it's, yeah, because everything is running smoothly, so it's a good product. Maybe it's a good time to sell it, so we will see in the next few months.
Oh, interesting. That's a great point. Not a lot of founders actually understand it or want to or are ready to do that, because when everything's running smoothly, I mean, what's not to like, right? It's running smoothly. Maybe future is bright. So, yeah, I think that's a really, really good point to explore. Was it the same for you and PixelMe?
No, it was totally different. And at least it's the reason why, because I want to do that before this point. For at PixelMe, when I sold the company, I was just tired by the product, tired by running PixelMe. The growth rate was 2% per month, really, really slow. And I was alone, and so I was in a position, I was in a bad position. And I think you don't need to sell a company at this time, because I was able to accept bad offer. By chance, I had a good offer, and because I used the broker, and the broker find a good offer, and so it was really good. But I'm sure if I was not able to find a good buyer, I would be able to accept a bad offer. So yeah, I recommend really to sell the company when you are good. And at least I'm on the best way for my tracker, because I love the product. I love what we are building now. The numbers are really good. So maybe it's the good time to sell in the next few weeks or few months. Or maybe we need to wait the 1 million print, because all the people that acquire SaaS want this. So we know maybe we need to wait this point. But yeah.
And since you're thinking about an exit, are you preparing somehow? Are you like looking around who's buying? Is it a strategic acquisition for you?
Yeah, I always in the contact with some buyer, because I know a lot. So sometimes we send some email, but we are waiting to be at the good moment, and we will be ready. We will probably use a broker, because I think brokers are really good to sell companies. So I will not buy myself. I tried for PixelMe and that failed. So yeah, I think yeah, brokers are a good value for doing that. And yeah, it's when it's your baby, it's always too difficult to sell it. And so when we will be ready, we will go on the market and trying to sell.
Okay. All right, that's awesome. Thank you for sharing this. So the last two questions. First one, biggest win, biggest failure. And can it be for you as a founder or CEO or managing director? I'm trying to position you somewhere. But or it can be for the company.
So biggest win for me in my life today, it's selling Mail, PixelMe, not Mailbroker. So, yeah, not yet. Because it was not easy, I think, to sell a company to above 1 million. So I know it's not the big deal that we have on LinkedIn, but in the real life, I think it's really cool to sell a company for this number. The biggest failed, that's a good question, probably raised money for PixelMe, because that broke something in our growth, that broke something in our strategy. And I think in my professional life, the only years that I didn't love, it was when we raised the money, when we have employees to manage, when we have investor, when we have reporting, when we have so meeting with the team and etc. I love the team, but I hate to do meeting for doing meeting, because you need to have a weekly meeting, etc. So probably it was a fail, because it was a really bad year for me when we raised the money and we have a lot of employees. So yeah, and for the company, the win for me is the SEO, because it's really growing and yeah, we are doing, and in terms of big picture, it's an email tracking. We are 500,000 of revenue. So I think it's really great for a small product like that. And trying to make this product always small, I think it's really great also. And the big failure for PixelMe, it was for MailTracker. it was a few months ago, we was about to sell the product, because it was like a strategy acquisition for a big company, and we failed. So it was, yeah, it was a failure.
All right. Well, hopefully also learning, and now you know how those go as well. All right. And the last one is always about a hack, right? And it can be your personal one, how to manage the life of the company or life of a founder, or it can be something that works for MailTracker, growth, SEO, anything.
In terms of hack, you mean?
In terms of just, you know, something that worked, that brought some great results, and do you think will be valuable for other founders?
Yeah, I think it's something that we are doing great with Stefan. It's we always are really fast to do some stuff. So we have an idea. We push, we try, we saw the result, and if it's good, we keep it, or we just go back. So we never be afraid to launch something, to block people, to increase the price, to introduce trial. And I think for us, it's great, great, because I have a lot of friends doing SaaS with a lot of more revenue than MailTracker for sure. But they are in a position where they don't take really risk, and the revenue is just not growing anymore, because they don't take big risk. They have a lot of employees, so it's not really fast to move forward, etc. So yeah, for me, when you have a startup, especially if it's bootstrapped, you can do whatever you want. You can just try, and if it's a fail, it's okay. Because I mentioned a lot of things that work, but we did a lot of stuff that didn't work. For example, we launched two products linked to MailTracker, with MetTracker, and that totally failed. We removed the product. So yeah.
Okay, so take risks, be bold, increase prices.
increase always. Always increase pricing.
That's going to be the name for this podcast. I love it. All right. Well, thank you so much, Tom. I think it's a great story. I always, you know, it's a great balance. Yesterday we had a podcast with Patty, CEO of DigitalOcean, who are hitting 1 billion in revenue. And, you know, now we have MailTracker. And I think it's so interesting to see, you know, how differently in a way you look at developing products, but where the similarities also lie. So that's pretty awesome. Thank you so much for sharing the story.
Thank you. Thank you too.
It's been fun. And take care.
That was yet another awesome conversation on SaaS Unbound. We're always looking for new guests to share their experiences. We mostly talk with bootstrapped SaaS founders, and if you're one, reach out to me directly at anna@saas.group or find me on LinkedIn. If you're not bootstrapped or even not SaaS but have a great story to tell, we want to hear from you too. And obviously, SaaS Unbound wouldn't be possible without the SaaS Group, a founder-friendly private equity company that buys awesome businesses that people love to take them to even greater success. If you're thinking about selling your company or just exploring your options, feel free to visit saas.group, fill in the form, and expect a response in under 24 hours.